Well, I don't know, brothers and sisters, any of you saw yesterday in the news? I was really taken aback a little bit, but there was a hearing in the United States Congress in Washington, and respected scientists were testifying, and they presented a petition from over 500 climatologists urging the United States government to stop trying to control the climate. And I had no idea about this, but apparently since the 1940s, the United States government and companies they funded and probably other governments around the world have been engaging in experiments in the sky. Things they call cloud seeding, trying to create clouds, trying to thicken the atmosphere, change its composition in the hope of dimming the effects of the sun's rays a little bit. And these scientists were testifying before Congress that the results are mixed and they don't really know what the effects are of all that's been going on for decades. I thought all of that was just some kind of conspiracy theory. I didn't realise that this is actually a thing. But amazingly, through geoengineering, people have been really trying to control the weather. And I just think that's amazing, trying to control the weather. And I mention that because one of the main messages of the book of Ecclesiastes is that we are not in control. We're not in control. We're not in control of the world, its seasons and its events, big or small. We're not in control of what may happen for good or bad. And we're really not actually in control of what happens in our own lives, just to each of us personally. We're not in control of how or when we will die. And good and bad things come to everyone. And they'll always be beyond our ability to predict or to see coming or to try to control. But just as men are trying to control the weather, we live with this delusion that we can try and control what's going to happen in our lives. But in the words of Ecclesiastes, that's like trying to grasp the wind. That's like trying to catch the breeze when it goes past you and hold it in your hand. We're never going to be able to do it. It will always elude us. But man keeps trying. And this is one of the main things that our passage in chapter 9 is saying to us. Or in the words of Solomon, time and chance happen to us all. If you look at me at verse 1, this is a kind of a summary statement, a heading for what follows. Again, as he's done throughout the book, Solomon tells us about his search for wisdom. But he's learned two things. The first is that God is in control and will care for the righteous. The righteous and the wise and their works are in the hand of God. And hand here is meant positively. Not just that God's in control, but that God shows a special care and attention to the righteous and what happens to them. They're protected, they are guided, they are kept by God. But the second thing Solomon's learned is that we're not in control. And no matter what plans we make or think we see coming down the tracks, things won't work out how we expect. He says, people know neither love nor hatred by anything they see before them. Which is, I suppose, a poetic way of saying people don't experience or get the end result of love or hate, good or bad, according to what they see before them, what they plan, what they expect, what's laid out that they think is going to happen next. He's saying, look, there aren't some straightforward rules that will determine what's going to happen. Things won't turn out how you think they will, how they look to you. But good and bad happen beyond our ability to predict. So as he then says in verse 2, the same things happen to the righteous and the wicked, to the good and the unclean, to him who worships and him who doesn't. As far as you can see, humanly speaking, the same things can happen to both. So there is the faithful saint who serves God all their life, but then they're hit with a terrible cancer diagnosis. But the same thing comes to the wicked murderer in prison. The self-denying faithful saint He's blessed with success at work, given money. But sometimes a corrupt and incompetent man will get to the same outcome. And he's saying that as we try to look at it, life will always be a great mystery. The outworking of all of these things. He says the same thing in verses 11 to 12. The race is not to the swift, nor battle to the strong, nor bread to the wise, nor riches to men of understanding. So life's full of twists and turns and won't go how we expect or plan. And the outcome doesn't necessarily depend on us. Now, we can take wise choices. We should take wise choices. We should do what's right. And in God's providence, as he controls the world, there are wiser ways to live than others. But he's saying, in this world under the sun, a fallen world, there's no guarantees of worldly peace or prosperity. Time and chance happen to all. And in verse 12, Solomon speaks of perhaps the most serious way that we see that. The uncertainty of life. No man knows his time when he will die. But like fish caught in a net or birds in a hunting trap, you can be walking along in life, going about, and all of a sudden death sees you without warning. You can plan, you can do all that you can, but ultimately you don't know the time when the trap will spring. Suppose we say today, don't we, I could get hit by a bus tomorrow. So again, Solomon's not saying don't make plans. And he's not saying we shouldn't try to be wise or prepare or live faithfully. I suppose ordinarily in God's providence, those things he will work in large part. But again, he's teaching us to have a realistic Christian pessimism about life. Just to be humble and acknowledge life's not in our control. It may not go how we think. And if we know this, then we won't be shocked or shaken when unexpected things happen. Things are following God's plan, not ours. That's the way of it in this world. Now, perhaps this is to help us avoid the arrogance and the anxiety of trying to control everything. Like trying to control the weather. I think that's arrogant. I think that's foolish. I think that's beyond us. But at the same time, at the other end, perhaps we're trying to protect ourselves. And we try to control everything, but it leads to us suffering anxiety about all the what ifs. So the better way to live, the wise way to live, is to live by faith. Trusting in God's care. Trusting that his people are in his hands for our good. Trusting in whatever he ordains for our good. So in a sense, we can let go and we can be content. We don't need to know what's going to happen. We don't have to try and get it all planned out. And this is actually a liberating, freeing way to live. When we recognize we can't try and control everything and every outcome, but we must humbly, day by day, rely on the Lord and trust him. And if we know his good, wise and gracious character, his faithfulness to his promises, his faithfulness to his covenant with us, we can have peace no matter what, no matter the changing circumstances, because we're looking to something that is unchangeable. There's a famous passage in John Calvin's Institutes, which I think fits well with what Ecclesiastes is saying here. Calvin says, innumerable are the evils that beset human life. Innumerable, too, the deaths that threaten it. We need not go beyond ourselves, since our body is the receptacle of 1,000 diseases. In fact, it holds within itself and fosters the causes of diseases. A man cannot go about unburdened by many forms of his own destruction and without drawing out a life enveloped, as it were, with death. For what else would you call it when he neither freezes nor sweats without danger? Now, wherever you turn, all things around you not only are hardly to be trusted, but almost openly menace and seem to threaten immediate death. Embark upon a ship, you are one step away from death. Mount a horse, if one foot slips, your life is imperiled. Go through the city streets, you are subject to as many dangers as there are tiles on the roofs. If there is a weapon in your hand or a friend's, harm awaits. All the fierce animals you see are armed for your destruction. But if you try to shut yourself up in a walled garden, seemingly delightful, there a serpent sometimes lies hidden. Your house, continually in danger of fire, threatens in the daytime to impoverish you, at night to collapse upon you. Your field, exposed to hail, frost, drought, and other calamities, threatens you with barrenness and famine. And I pass over poisonings, ambushes, robberies, open violence, which in part besiege us at home and in part dog us abroad. Now, obviously, he's using hyperbole, he's exaggerating to make the point, but he's saying if you really thought about it, about how fragile life is and uncertain, a tile from the roof walking past could be your end. But if you go that way, intense anxiety and fear is what lies ahead. But instead he goes on to say, ignorance of providence is the greatest of all miseries, and the knowledge of it, the highest happiness. So what's he saying? He's saying if you don't know that God's in control of everything, and even the details and all the outcomes, if you don't know that, you'll be utterly miserable. Because you're trying to control something you can't control, and you'll be hit with those kinds of fears. What's going to happen to me? But if you do know God's providence, it's the highest happiness. Because you know that the righteous are in the hand of God. And you can have absolute peace. You're in the hands of the most gracious and loving God. Without that, life's miserable to be feared. How do you live with such uncertainty? But if you do know, you're in his hands, the hands of God, what peace you can have, what peace you can have. Well, that's the fundamental thing that this passage is saying to us. And I think there's something very practical and helpful for us day by day, to let go of our anxieties, let go of our vain attempts to try and control everything, and to rest and to trust in God's perfect, powerful, loving hands. Let go each day. Trust him for the day's agenda. And there are more specific details that, God willing, we can come to another time. But no matter what tomorrow might bring, what the what ifs are, the good news is the righteous are in God's hands. And no one can snatch them out of them. And those who fear the Lord can know, whether good or bad in this world, we're in his hands. Amen.